Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
If you would take out your, open up your bulletin, you'll find a copy of the sermon notes that we're going to be using as we study God's Word together, as we allow it to shape us and guide us this morning and continue to explore who God is in our life. Last week, we began by talking about how is God referred to? What are those images or those metaphors that help us to understand almost the indescribable? God is so beyond our words and so beyond our understanding. But in the Old Testament, there were these images that would help explain or understand our relationship to who God is. And last week we talked about God is the potter and we are the clay. God is shaping us and molding us and continuing to create in us, through the circumstances, something known only in the mind of God. We want to continue to talk about what are those images that you have of who God is. And many people have some wonderful images. You know, we talk about God the Father. But some people have kind of that idea of God as the great judge, somebody that's sitting up in heaven waiting to really zap us. And so there's a fear about church and about a relationship with who God is. And yet the images that continue to come through Scripture are totally different. What is one of the great images that we have of who God is? It's the image of the shepherd and the sheep. And so if you go to the next slide, I came across this image because it really kind of spoke to me about who we are. You know, we have this idea of big adult sheep, but many times in the Old Testament or in Scriptures, it talks about us being sheep as a shepherd, and Jesus being our shepherd, our guide. And when I came across this, that image of us needing a shepherd, we need in our lives a guide. We need some direction. We need to know that there's some protection, that life is not just a series or a random series of events, but that God is guiding us somewhere. That our lives really do have meaning, and we're not just out there vulnerable to circumstances and conditions, but that God is doing something with us. And I think that sometimes, even as a church, we need to think of ourselves as a flock drawn together, that together we can encourage one another, we can inspire one another, and that God together can move us in a direction. And so this morning, as we consider that imagery, I want you to think deeply about God's image as a shepherd and our image as sheep. And how does that shape our relationship, not only to God, but to one another and to the church? So this morning, as we open up the Scriptures, let it speak to us about who God is in our lives, and let it shape our future. Would you join with me as we share what's on the screen? This is God's word for my life, in this place and at this time. Today, I'm a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I know He has a purpose for my life. It's interesting to me when King David, who knew the heart of God, wanted to express who God is. He did it in such a way that he used the metaphor of the 23rd Psalm. And I'm using the King James Version because every time I've always heard the 23rd Psalm, I've always heard it in the King James Version. And so it just seems natural to me. It just seems natural to me. So if you know it this way, if you want to say it, you've probably heard it many times. I will tell you that this is, you probably are aware that the 23rd Psalm is like the most favored psalm for funerals, right? And think about that for a moment. That at that moment of clarity, when there's the issue of life and death, and maybe you're saying goodbye to a loved one, and at that moment, this is the psalm that speaks most clearly to us. When you want to talk about what life is really all about, David was able to capture it in such a beautiful poem. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, your word speaks to us through the generations and through the millennia. We know, O God, that you are our shepherd and we are the sheep of your flock. And we pray that you call us by name and draw us back, that we can know the path that you have set before us. And Father, for those that are dealing with fear, I pray, O God, that you set a feast before us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. I love the King James Version. I've heard it so often through the years that there are so many memories that come back to it. And maybe as you read through that, there is a memory that comes back to you as well. If you look through it in different versions, though, I love the way other people have written it. And maybe you put it in such a way, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Another way of writing that is, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. I have all that I need. Think about that for a moment, especially in our day and time, in our culture, with everybody running around and trying to acquire more stuff and trying to figure out what is the meaning of life and where am I going to go and what do I have to do tomorrow? And our schedules are becoming so full. And yet David, who is the king of Israel at the time, is able to say, the Lord is my guide. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I have all that I need. What is it that gives your life meaning? What is it that fills you up? What is it that gives your life that sense of fulfillment? This is all that I need. When you can identify that, when you know that with clarity, and I don't mean just verbally, because sometimes what will happen is we know what we should do, but what we really do is something else. We know that our lives are spiritual. We know that we don't get to stay here forever. And we know that all that we possess eventually goes to somebody else. And yet we continue to be on that treadmill. David was able to wrestle with what it meant for him to be a king and succession. And he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. That is all that I need. And it guided his life. And I think that if we really embrace this image of God as our shepherd, there's a couple of things that David is able to do that will help us to really embrace that image of God as the shepherd. Not the one up there with the stick to always beat us back into the line, but to guide us, to call us by name and say, follow me on this path, and I will lead you to green pastures. There's a couple of things that David does in this passage that I want to bring us out. The first of all is David recognizes that this is a choice. It is a choice. The Lord is my shepherd. He's made a decision. He's made a decision based on faith and reason. David has had years of experience. Remember, David is the young boy that faced Goliath with 5 stones and a sling. David is the one who fought off Saul, and though he played the lute and the harp, for Saul he was threatened and he was on the run for most of his life, and yet he recognized that even being on the run, God was with him. And so he made a choice. He had to make a choice. The Lord is my shepherd. That is my guide. Have you made that choice? Have you made that decision? I love this passage that's in your sermon notes from G.K. Chesterton. He said, when we cease to worship God, it is not that we do not worship nothing, but that we worship anything. We will worship anything. And yet David recognized, the Lord is my shepherd. This is the direction that I want to go. He recognized his path. What concerns me today is that so often we don't make that choice. We just kind of go with the flow. Go with what everybody else is doing, whether it's right or not, or whether we've thought about where we're headed or what the destination is that we're shooting for. We just kind of go with the flow. The first thing that has to happen is we need to make that choice, that decision. The Lord is my shepherd, and I'm listening to his voice because of my experience and my understanding. He will lead me to the path, to green pastures and beside the still waters. This is the place of serenity and hope that I've been looking for all my life. The second thing is David says that it's a celebration. Fear will not rule my life. Fear will not rule my life. David, in his poem, says, you have set a feast in the a meal before me. You've set a feast in the presence of my enemies. Another way of reading that is, in the midst of my fears, in the midst of my greatest fears and my greatest anxieties, you have set a table before me. In the midst of them. Doesn't say you've removed all of them, but in the midst of my greatest fears, you have set a banquet before me. Today we're sharing in that feast. Many of us are still dealing with anxieties and fears for our families, for our neighbors, for our country, especially on a 4th of July weekend. Where are we going? And yet in the midst of that uncertainty, in the midst of that anxiety of what's happening in our lives, and some people are dealing with medical issues, he sets a table before me. He sets a feast in the midst of our anxiety and our fear. What are those fears and those anxieties that we deal with on a regular basis? What are the fears and anxieties of your friends and neighbors? Where do they turn for that sense of belonging, that sense of community that draws them in together? David says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. In the midst of my fears, he sets a table before me. I have nothing to fear. It is my security, and it is my promise, and it is my hope. And finally, David says, it is a covenant. The Lord is my shepherd. It is imprinted on our heart over and over again. It's interesting, if you read through the scriptures, and I want to talk a little bit about Peter's relationship with Jesus following the crucifixion. In Mark chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus says something very strange about Peter. After the resurrection in Mark chapter 16, Jesus comes back and he says, go tell my disciples and Peter that I am going to Galilee ahead of them and I will meet them there. He separates Peter out. And if you read that, it isn't so much that when Jesus goes and finds the disciples, they're back fishing again. And I don't think that Jesus is excluding Peter. I think Peter has excluded himself. I think Peter has cut himself off because of his sorrow, because of his anxiety of the betrayal. It's interesting to me that in telling of Peter's betrayal, it tells us that in that moment, or in the courtyard, there was a fire that was burning, and people were around, a charcoal fire. There are only two times that that word is used in the New Testament. Charcoal fire, a very specific kind of fire. If you've ever been around a campfire, have you ever been around a campfire and somebody throws in a pine log? What happens when pine begins to burn? All the sap begins to pop and crackle, and it can be quite loud. But it sends off there's a certain aroma, there's a certain sound. It creates a mental image. And in that mental image, it tells us that after Peter betrays Jesus, the rooster crows. The rooster crows. It's interesting that you have that image. And I was thinking about this week and about roosters. I don't know what got me on the idea of roosters. But the idea is that when we spent some time in Haiti, you've heard this before, that I didn't realize roosters crow all the time. And they communicate with one another. And all night long, they would be crowing across the valleys. And it just went on and on and on. And yet, I think about that in terms of Peter's own life. That every time, I wonder if every time a rooster crowed for the rest, for that time period, he went back to that image. And it kept coming back to him, I'm a betrayer. Look at who I am. And so Peter had separated himself from the disciples. And so Jesus comes to Peter as they're fishing out on the Sea of Galilee. And as they're coming in, they haven't caught a thing. And here's this man that's on the beach, and he says, cast your nets on the other side. And they do, and they make this huge haul. And it reminds them of when Jesus was there and he called them to discipleship. Exactly the same image occurs again, and Jesus jumps out and he goes to Peter. And he goes to Jesus, and Jesus has a meal cooked before him. And he goes over time and time again, Peter, do you love me? Then feed my sheep. He goes back to that same image of being the shepherd, being what David understood God to be. Be my representative. Go and love my flock. And so when we come to this meal, we are coming to imprint again and again, to cover up all of those ideas in the back of our mind that we've failed, that we haven't measured up. We cover them up time and time again, that God has a plan for you. Again and again, to have that meal, to call you out, to say, don't give up, begin again, come into the fellowship again. There's a church in Galilee called the Primacy of Peter Church. And in this church, there is a stone, a big outcropping of rock inside the church, where they believe that that was the stone where Jesus had the fire and the meal for Peter. It is the time of beginning, and whenever they gather, once a week, they gather and they place the communion elements on that stone to commemorate, this is the table of beginning again. And so this morning, as we come prepared to feast in the midst of our fears and our anxieties, but also in order to begin again, to call us out. What is holding you back? What keeps you locked in to those same old habits? What's keeping you? What fear, what anxiety is preventing you from stepping out and being everything that God knows that you can be? Peter went right back to fishing. He went back to what he knew. He went back to the old life until Jesus said, "Let's begin something new. Feed my sheep." And so every time you come to the table, you hear Jesus say those words, feed my sheep. So the question is, will you come to the table? It is a table of letting go, asking yourself those questions of confession. What is it I need to let go of? Maybe I'm kind of a control freak and I got to have everything my way. I've got to know that everything is going to work out just the way I want it to go. You're not the shepherd. We're the sheep. Let God guide you. Second of all, it's a table of welcome. Come to the table. Begin again. Share this feast, this fellowship with the community. Be a part of something wonderful, a moment of transformation for you and for all of us. And finally, it is a table of feasting. A table of joy and of excitement. This is just a foretaste of what God has in store for us. But Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, says something very interesting, very important that we have to be clear about. He said, do not come to this table without some self-examination. Don't come kind of flippantly and just say, let's just get on with this, let's get it over with. I love this quote, and I think this is something that we should think about. Lord Dunsany, who after he had survived World War I, He survived one of the brutal wars, the trench warfare. He had survived seeing people blown apart in waves that went across. And you can only imagine the carnage that he experienced in World War I. But after World War I, he said the following. He said, "In some strange way, I am still alive. I wonder what God means me to do with a life so specially spared." When you come this morning, you have been blessed with abundance that other people can't even imagine. People around the world marvel at what we take for granted. What is it God wants you to do with a life so specially blessed? Let that germinate in you for a while. Let it percolate. What is it that God wants you to do? See, some people will come and just say, well, it's because we're special people. God wants to bless us because we're better than most other people in the world. And that's certainly one take on it. But I think God said, I want to bless you that you can be a blessing to others. What is it God is blessing you for? How are you going to change the lives of those around? What is the character of God? In John chapter 10, Jesus said, "How will I describe myself? I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep knows me. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." Make a choice. Decide who your good shepherd is, the direction your life is going to take. Celebrate what he's already been doing, the feast that has been set before you. Make a covenant to begin again and again and again, to step out into what God is doing, to leave the nets behind, and to begin to feast. Let us pray. Father God, we come this morning to celebrate who you are in our lives, the direction that you're calling us, and we pray, oh God, that you liberate us with the freedom to be all that you've created us to be. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We come to the table inviting Jesus to be a part of our story. As we come this morning, let us confess that we have not always followed the shepherd. The shepherd has called us and we haven't always been there. Sometimes we've gone our own way and we've not always been and we've not always heard the cry of the needy. So let us prepare our hearts to receive Christ. Will you join with me as we pray and we confess before God? Let us pray together. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray, and free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.